Good morning, everybody. I want to welcome everybody here. Welcome everybody online. We've got friends here from California. We're praying for you guys out there. We've got friends up in Ohio. We're praying for you. We've got family down in Mississippi. We're praying for you guys. So if you're local to Wichita and you're curious and you want to be a part of this family, come join us Sundays at 10:30 a.m. We would just love to see some new faces and new people coming here. So I want to read this quote to you this morning. It says, "The worst sin of our fellow creatures is not to hate them, but to be indifferent to them." You may know that, you may have read that, but I'm going to read it one more time. "The worst sin of our fellow creatures is not to hate them, is to be indifferent to them." That just means just to really not even care, not have a thought one way or the other about them, to just kind of, it'd be like, they're not even there. So if you would please this morning, open up your Bibles. We're going to be in Luke. We'll be in the 10th chapter. Luke, 10th chapter, New Testament, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew, Mark, John, and Luke. I'm going to kind of set the stage here just a little bit. I'm going to go through a few scriptures. You can just kind of wait there, but I'm going to go through a few scriptures here. About halfway into the message, we're going to get to Luke. We're going to be in verses 30 and 31. So last week we come in here and we talked about and we identified that there's a world culture out there. There's just there's a lifestyle that's going on. And it seems like the world that we're living in today is kind of becoming just a little bit indifferent. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on and we feel like, you know, it's just really not part of what's going on in our life. And it seems like the world is even and the culture and the lifestyle is just becoming a little more angry, a little more short-tempered, at odds at each other. It's kind of like we've been coming to a point where we've been divided, we're intolerant of each other, and we've kind of put past everybody's own unique, purposeful differences that God has made in us. So today, we're going to title this Week 2, pretty creative there, but it's week two of this cultural revolution. And the reason that I titled it that, which is, it's just like we're living in an age of outrage where it's just, everybody's just mad at each other. Everybody's fighting with each other. We have our politicians are fighting back and forth. They're angry with each other, and it's your problem, and it's your problem, and it's your fault, and it's your fault. So we've got that going on. We've got these communities that are up in arms with each other, and they just don't even want to be a part of the United States, or they don't even want to be a part of the world, or they want, you know, they're just fighting with each other. And then we have these peoples that are going up against the governing authorities. They think they don't have any right to tell me what to do. I'm my own person. I can do what I want. We have racial differences that we're all fighting about each other about, spiritual differences. I mean, even there's infighting going on in the churches and everything. So we've got all of that stuff going on. And I believe that some of those, and a lot of those, okay, they're good causes. They're things that we should be concerned about. They're things that we should be dealing with. And I believe that a lot of us, and probably most of those groups they really want to bring about a healing. They really want to bring something good out in that. They really want to overcome this outrage. They want to overcome this separation. They want to overcome this division that's going on. And if we look and we read the Bible and we study that, we can really understand that that's possible. We know that we can be better together. And what we need to do, the main thing that we need to do in our life is learn to love our neighbor. And I know that that's not very deep and doesn't sound like a hard thing, but we need to learn to love our neighbor. We can't win somebody over by submission. I mean, that's oppression is all of that is. We can make somebody do what we want them to do. We can lock them up and we can do that, but that's not loving your neighbor. You know, we can win them over by inclusion, by whoever they are, by whatever they do, by their thoughts. You know, it doesn't mean they have to agree with us. We can do that, and we can win them over by kindness. And so last week we learned from the Bible, and here we talked about that we as believers, we that said, yes, I want Jesus, Lord, as my Savior. Yes, that's what I'm a believer in that. We learned from that that we have been sent on a mission. If you remember that, it says, you know, the Father sent me, I'm sending you. I want you to go out. I want you to take this message, the message of Christ, the message of love, and I want you to take it out, and I want you to share it. Share it with who? I want you to share it with your neighbors. That's what it says. From our backyards to clear across all, you know, the outer parts of the world, I want you to share it with everybody. I want you to show your love by sharing your love. I want you to show your love by sharing your love with who? Your neighbors. So I believe in this culture that we're going along, that we have this rage going on, that we have this anxiety going on against and with each other, that we have this message and this mission to go out. But I also believe that we have a responsibility, because sometimes we think, you know, that church next door, they really need to get on their thing and get out there and start getting people saved. Well, I think we are the church, so I think we have a responsibility to show kindness. And so often we look at it as a hard thing to do, as something that we're not capable of, or we don't have the equipment or the finances or the motive or whatever it might be, but we have a responsibility just to show kindness. In a world out there right now today that it's at its worst, I believe right at this time it's at its worst, we can bring out the best. The church of Wichita, even the church of the world, we can bring out the best in the world if we adapt this attitude. Not as a church, not as a city, not as a town, not as a community, but as a people, as a personal people, if we adapt this attitude of cultivating, watering it, bringing it up, cultivating kindness. Because we can do that. May not be able to save the whole world, but I can make this world that I'm in, I can make my circle of influence, I can be a lot kinder within it. And it's kind of like counterculture, really. It's kind of like turning, it's like reverse psychology with your own children. It's like, you know, we're living in a rude world. It's a bad world. There's some people out there that are bad mannered, that are uncivilized, that they're disrespectful and everything. And you and I, we can go out in this world and we can make a difference in this world because we have the ability to show kindness. And you know, the Bible talks a lot about kindness. I mean, we see it about these great theological, deep things that are really hard to understand and end times and all that. But it talks a lot about kindness, too. I mean, a lot about kindness. And its easiest way of having kindness is to do it, is to show it through love. You don't need to turn there. 1 Thessalonians 5:15, it says, "See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everybody." So it says, always seek to do good to one another. That one another that he's talking about there, that he's writing about, that one another, that's us. That's everybody in this room. That's the church next door. That's the Christian churches across the street. We should be nice to each other. Those that are in the church, that are, you know, the Church of Jesus Christ, those are our brothers and sisters. And it says, show kindness to one another, those inside the church. And it says, and to everybody. What he's saying there, those are outside the church. Because when I first read that, it's like, show kindness to everybody, do all of this stuff, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, always seek to do good and, you know, to one another and everything. And I thought, well, he means just to the good people. You know, the people that are good, the people that are nice, and the people that like us and everything. But he says, show good to everybody. And he said, show good to everybody, one another, the believers, all your friends, all your fellows that you're hanging out with. But do show good and don't return evil to everyone, which is the non-believers. But what about your enemies? Jesus said, love them. Show kindness to them. Love them. That's what he's talking about. And if we look out there in this world that we're living in today, that's contrary to what the world is. The world would be an eye for an eye. They do that to them, I'm going to do that to them. You take my stuff, I'm going to take your stuff. And so as believers, the Bible tells us this, don't return evil for evil. Don't return wrong for wrong. It says to be kind to each other always and to everybody. Not just those people that like it, not just those people that like us, but to everybody. And I know we spend a lot of time in our life trying to look nice. You know, we spend a lot of time trying to do that. We spend more time doing that than trying to be nice. We spend a lot of time in front of the mirror trying to look nice for everybody to make sure that our appearance is right. And we spend less time in front of God wondering if our attitude is right. And it's not saying that, you know, I'm not saying that we shouldn't dress nice. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. In fact, if you look into the Bible, God wants us to dress nice. In fact, in the Bible, it gives you, as far as we should do that, we have five outfits. Really, that's all you need is five outfits to wear. Because the Bible says, clothe yourself with compassion. That's Monday. With kindness is Tuesday. With humility is Wednesday. Gentleness is Thursday. And through the rest of the week, it's going to be patience because you're going to need it. But if you wore those things out, if you did that every morning, it's like, I'm going to put on some compassion this morning. I'm going to be nice. I'm going to be nice to everybody that's out there. You know, if I'm going to do that this morning, if you did that, you'd be successful every day. You would have a win every day in a win column. You know, it would be awesome. And we, you know, we want to look nice, but if you were kind to everybody, you would look nice. Because that's what a man, you know, you would look nice to them. It wouldn't matter what you had on. If you're kind to them, they're going to say, I like this person. We would look nice. In their eyes, we would look nice. Philippians 4:5, it says, let your gentleness be evident to all. Depending on what Bible you have, yours might say kindness. That's what it's talking about. It says, let your gentleness be evident to all. We should strive to be men of kindness. We shouldn't be saying, that's just how I am. We should strive to be kind to our wives, to our children, to our pets, to our neighbors. We should strive that way. We should aspire to be women of kindness. And there's not going to be any backbiting. I'm not going to gossip. I'm not going to tell stories. I'm going to be the kind person. We should strive to be a kind church. We should be known for that. The people would come in here and say, God, don't know much about the pastor, but everybody else was really nice in that place. You know, it was a kind place. And it says, what it's saying is it should be evident. People should see that. Not that we have a sign on our door that says we're a bunch of kind people. It should be evident to everybody. And I know what we're thinking, you know, it's like with this COVID stuff and all of this stuff going on, it's, you know, it's kind of hard to be kind. I'm going to be unkind just a little bit. We've got to stop making excuses. Well, we got this, all this stuff, you know, and I just, you know, we always got these excuses of why we can't be kind, why we can't say nice words, why we can't be encouraging, why we can't go up and talk to a stranger, why we can't do this. We've got to stop that. We've got to quit doing that stuff. God is very, very, very clear about how he wants you and me, how he wants his church to be known. And it doesn't have anything to do with attendance. Doesn't have anything to do with money and how much money they have or how many glass windows they have in there. Doesn't have anything to do with income. He wants us to be known. When people outside the world, everyone else would know us, they would know us by our kindness, by the love that we show to them. Look at that scripture, 1 Corinthians 6:14. It says, do everything in, doesn't say moderation. It says, do everything in love. You know, our finances and stuff, we're supposed to be good stewards of it. We need to take care of that. That's smart. That's wise. Caring for the members of the church when they need feeding and stuff like that. That's smart. Sharing with our neighbors, you know, that's everything. But they said, do all of this in love. Not out of guilt, not out of shame, not out of anything like that, not out of show. But he said, do it in love. Kindness is love in action. I mean, it takes an act to be kind. You can't just say, I'm so kind, or I'm going to be kind to you. It takes an action. Kindness is not an emotion. It's not something that we feel. It's not an emotion or anything. It's not a feeling that we have in our life. Cultivating kindness, it's not something that we feel towards someone. Cultivating kindness is something we do for somebody. It's an action that we go out. It's an event that happens. To show kindness, kindness is action in love. I mean, it's love in action. So God wants so much for you to understand this and for us to get this today that he put a story in the Bible that we would look at this and that we would read and we would, it's probably one of the most famous stories. You'll recognize it when we talk about it a little bit. But it's the story of the Good Samaritan. And if you've never read it and if you don't know anything about it or anything, but you've surely heard that or heard somebody talk about it, but it's the story of the Good Samaritan. And so I'll give you a little background before we get into it too much, but there's these Samaritans, and they're a different race. They're not the Jews. They're different from the Jews. They're a different, whole different race. But they had two things in common with the Jews. They both lived in Israel, and they despised each other. They did not like each other. The Jews hated the Samaritans, didn't care for them. The Samaritans hated the Jews. They didn't care for them because they were being oppressed and beat down. There's a lot of racial profiling going on, a lot of animosity going on between each other. In fact, the Jews, they even had a statement. They said, I'd rather be a dog than a Samaritan. And that was low. So here's the story that's going on here. Jesus, he has this crowd going on. He's doing his teaching. It's one of those teaching moments where he's probably off the side of the road or, probably at the city gate or something like that. He's got his followers around and he's doing some teaching and stuff and everything. There's probably some curious people that's going on. They're wondering, it's like, what's this guy talking about? What's he preaching about and everything? What's going on here? So they're around there. And then there's this expert at the law. And when we read that in the Bible, when we say an expert at the law, it's probably a Pharisee, which is kind of like a lawyer, but it's like a religious lawyer, somebody that really understood the law. And he asked Jesus this question. And so all these people around, what he's doing, he's trying to set Jesus up because they didn't like, the Pharisees, they would be in a Jew. And so they're trying to, they don't want Jesus taking people away from them. So he's trying to trip him up a little bit. So he asked him a question and he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? So Jesus responds, he gets his attention, he responds, and he said, well, what's in the law? He says, how do you read it? And the reason he's talking to him, he's referring to him like that, because he says, what's in the law? He's talking about this Pharisee would have had the five books, the Pentateuch in the Bible. It's the first five books. It's the Torah that they had. And so this Pharisee, he was an expert in the law, not speed limits or anything like that. He was an expert in the religious law. So he would have known. He would have understood everything that Jesus said. And Jesus said, well, how do you read it? What do you think it says in there? How do you get eternal life? So it says in Luke chapter 10, verse 27, and the Pharisee says, he answered, the Pharisee's answering him. Jesus said, well, how do you read it? What do you think's going on? Says the Lord says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus responds, he said, that's right. Ding, 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 ding. That's right. You do this and you'll live. Says, you got it. That's a good answer. Good answer. Good question. Okay, next, let's move on. We've got his question. And the guy's like, well, wait. Because then he says, this guy that's smart, that knows everything, then in verse 29, he says, but he, meaning the Pharisee, desired to justify himself. Gosh, we do that so we understand this, we know this, but in my situation, it's different. So that's what the Pharisee, he wants to justify himself. And so he said to Jesus, he said, well, who's my neighbor? I mean, obviously, everybody in the world isn't our neighbor, because some of our neighbors then want to steal our stuff. Some of our neighbors want to hurt us. And so he says, well, who's our neighbor? So Jesus is getting ready to tell him this story. Story's already happened a long time ago, but Jesus is getting ready to tell him that. So they're all sitting there in a little group. And this is where we get into the meat. When the Bible says, Paul says we got to get you off milk. Well, this is what it's talking about. We're getting into the meat of the message right now. And so this guy, he's not wanting to love everybody. And I know, you know, it's kind of hard for us to say that, but we don't want to love everybody. You know, our hearts are wicked and black and dark, and we don't want to do that. And we don't do that. We have to make ourselves do that. But he said, you know, he doesn't want to love everybody. And so he says that, you know, he's kind of trying to ask me, he said, you know, what do you mean by all this, love your neighbor as yourself? Because if I love my neighbor as myself, you know, surely Jesus isn't talking about that. Because then he's saying, well, I got to love the whole world. I got to love those infidels that want to see me dead. I got to love those scavengers that want to hurt me. I got to love those dogs that don't live up to my expectations. And surely you don't expect me to love the people that they don't love me, that I don't, you know, that they don't like me. So what he's doing, this, which is typical, this Pharisee, this expert in the law, what he's doing, he's trying to find a loophole. It's like, well, I know you said this, and he does say, here's what the Bible says. I know what the Bible says on that, but this time we got a little bit of a different story. So he's trying to find a loophole. And I know when we say it's like, ooh, bad guy, hiss, boo, and all that. And come on, let's be real. It's not like we've never done that. I mean, we do that all the time. It's like, you know, when we take the commandments, we understand, we know what the Bible says, but in my situation, it's a little bit different. Because it says, love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. You know, love your neighbor as yourself, except, because my situation's different. You know, the neighbor down the street, you know, love everybody and everything, but the neighbor down the street, when I drive by him, I'm waving and I'm saying hi, and he just won't even look. Doesn't even look up. Or that anonymous person that turned you into the HOA. Surely God doesn't expect me to love that person. I mean, just because I threw wildflowers in my front yard and decided I'm not going to mow anymore, I'm just going to let the plants grow free, you know. Let's all have it be free. Maybe it was that person. Surely it didn't want me to that. Or what about the person at work that's been gossiping about you and telling stories and you finally heard about it and it's like, God doesn't want me to love that person because that person definitely doesn't love me. I can't love these people, especially to love them like I like myself. Because I really think pretty highly of myself. And so I'm supposed to mean to love everybody else just as much as I love myself. And I'm thinking, God, I can't. That's a big order right there. And here's what I like. You know, Jesus doesn't just say, well, no, this is the law. This is what you got to do. You know, I'm God. I made the law. So this is it. You know, and we do that as parents. It's like, you know, because I said so. You know, that for us, that's good enough. But Jesus doesn't do that. He tells these life stories. He tells these parables. He tells these little things that's going on. And he doesn't say, you know, just be kind to everybody or anything like that. He said, you know, he gives them this application. And the application is for those guys to figure it out. And it's for us to figure out. Because we're probably not going to be walking down the road and see somebody hurt, but he's given this application. He says, let me give you the scope of it. Let me give you the picture of it. Let me give you how this all fits together. And so here's a story, and Jesus is telling them. He's got this group of followers, and they're all hanging around and everything, and he starts to tell this story about this guy that's going down the road. He's going from Jericho, and he's coming to going to Jerusalem and everything, and this is a windy road. It would be like the bike path or something, you know, a dirt road, and it was kind of windy road, and it was going down the hill, and there's going to be a lot of curves on this road and everything. It was a dangerous road. It was a trade route to go from Jerusalem to Jericho. It was a good trade route, but the thing bad thing about that was, as a trade route, then you had a lot of stuff that you was taking with you, so there were a lot of robbers that was like hanging out along there. And they were just waiting for you to come around the corner so they could attack you and take whatever you had and just leave you there. And so this guy's doing that, and he's coming around. He's taking his little travel or whatever. He's doing that, and these bandits show up. He comes around the corner. Here's these bandits. They show up. They rob him. They take everything that he's got. They nearly beat him to death, leave him to lay on the side of the road. They don't care about him. They don't care about him at all. So they leave him to lay on the side of the road. He's about to die. And Jesus says to him, and he's telling this story about this. This is the story Jesus is getting ready to tell him. And he said, there's three different guys. And he says there's a priest, there's a Levi, and there's a Samaritan. It sounds like the beginning of a joke, but it's not. It's what the Bible says. There's a priest, there's a Levite, and there's a Samaritan. And they stumble upon this crime scene. That's what's going on. And you know the story and everything, you know. But here's what I discovered in all of this. You know, I'm looking at it, I'm praying about this and everything. You know, each one of these guys, each one of these three people represents two things. Each one of them represents an attitude of what's going on in the world, an attitude of indifference or something like that. Each one of them represents that. And each one of them represents us. And I know we want to be the good guy in this group, but each one of us represents us. And it's kind of a hard thing to think, but each one of these guys represent a response and an attitude that we carry with us. So before you say anything, you know, just hold on to that, you know. It represents us, you know. And I know it gets a little uncomfortable when we think about it, but just receive this as the word of the Holy Spirit that He's speaking to you today. He's speaking to us online today. And just receive it, recognize what's going on in life, and just respond to it as something in our life that's happening. But so here's the story. If you're keeping score, write this down on your piece of paper or whatever. Keep these notes and everything. Put them in your pocket. But the first response that we see is there's an attitude of avoidance. This is stuff that's in our heart. Not all the time, but some of the time, but an attitude of avoidance. So it says in verse 30, Luke 10, verse 30, Jesus replied. He said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among the robbers. So remember, the guy asked him, the Pharisee, he said, how do I get eternal life? And Jesus said, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor. And the guy's like, well, who's my neighbor? This is where Jesus is answering him. He says, let me explain this to you. He said, verse 30, he said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among the robbers who stripped him and beat him, and they departed, leaving him half dead. So here's this guy, he's on the side of the road, he's either naked or almost completely naked, almost half dead. So it's not like he's just been in a bad situation and got a couple black eyes. He's probably gonna die if somebody doesn't do anything. He's laying on the side of the road, all of his belongings are gone, they've been stolen, he's been taken away. And then it says in there, verse 31, and it says, now by chance. And if you would, circle that. We're going to get back to that later, but it says, now by chance. Verse 31, now by chance, it says a priest was going down that road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. This is an attitude of avoidance. This is a thought process that we have in our mind. He's just not even, this priest, he's not even going to acknowledge it. Kind of like that quote that we started out with of Mr. Shaw. It's just to be indifferent. There's a guy laying on the side of the road, has been beat, robbed, whatever, and everything. I need to be on the other side of the road. It just indifference. And I know we think, well, we don't do that. Maybe not to that extent, maybe not that hard, you know, but how many times do we walk in a convenience store and somebody's talking to us and kind of, you know, they've been standing by the payphone and they want to talk to you. And what do? We just, you know, sometimes we might say different things, like, yeah, you know, oh man, I can't help you, all that. But most of the time we just ignore them. We know what's going to happen. We might tell our children, don't look at them. Let's just walk on. Don't pay attention. Because it's not my problem. So he's going down, this priest is going down the road. He sees this guy is beaten and everything. He crosses over to the other side of the road. He says, it's just not my issue. And there's a lot of people in today's culture, and don't beat yourself up. This isn't about guilt or anything like that. There's a lot of people in today's culture that they live that way, out of sight, out of mind. I mean, it's just kind of bred into us. I mean, the West Side is of our nation's on fire. The South down here, there's hurricanes going on. There's just all of this stuff going on. It's like, we got our problems here, right? That's what we're thinking. So it's out of sight, out of mind. It's avoidance. Keep walking, don't talk to him, move over to the side of the road. And it's easy for us to do that because there's going to be somebody else coming along. So it's easy to do that. That's the culture that we live in. To bring it home a little bit closer, don't go to that part of town. It's a bad part of town. Don't drive through there. It's a dangerous part of town. Just cross to the other side of the road. So in verse 32, it says, so likewise, a Levite, when he comes to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. So the first guy, this priest is going along. He sees something going on here. Sees a guy laying in the ditch. He just crosses to the other side of the road. So that's an attitude of avoidance. The second guy, this Levite's coming along. He's got an attitude of apathy. An attitude of apathy is just when he's not going to care. He could care, but he's not going to care. And when we say, when I look at it and it's like it's a Levite, he's not a jean salesman or anything like that. He's a religious guy. This is what this guy is. This is some guy that works in the temple. This is a guy that's in ministry. He's locked into a church. He's doing something that's changing the world. And it says that he saw him. So it looks at, and when it talked about that, it was more than just like the priest saw the guy and went to the other side. And it said, this guy saw him. He's curious. He's like, what's going on? So he's walking down the road and he sees him and he's like, he's curious and he investigates a little more. He's like, what's going on? There's a man over there. Guy's hurt. That's what's going on. There's a man. It says he saw him and he crossed the other side of the road. It's an attitude of apathy. I see this. I see what's going on. I understand there's a need. I understand somebody needs help over there. But what's going on in my life is more important. What I'm doing right now is more important. I see what's going on. I don't argue that there needs to be something done there. But what in my life is more important. The best definition of apathy is just a lack of compassion. It's not a lack of understanding. It's not a lack of saying, you know, I don't agree with it or anything like that. It's just a lack of compassion. It's just not caring enough to care. And that happens in our life. Happens when I do it. Happens, everybody does it. So the first guy, the priest, he crossed the road. He says, I'm not even going to get involved. Not even going to do anything. The second guy, the Levite, he sees what's going on. He looks what's going on. He understands what's going on. And then he leaves. So now the third guy, the Samaritan, he's got an attitude of action. And I like this, you know, it's kindness in action. He's got an attitude of action. It says in verse 33, it says, but a Samaritan, as he journeyed, so this is at a different time, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and he saw him, and he had compassion. So Jesus is telling this story and said, these other guys walked on by, and one of the guys saw him. He said, this guy had compassion. This Samaritan, this guy that he understood rejection, he was like the low man of everybody. He understood rejection, probably been rejected most of his life, probably been looked down on, probably been talked bad about, probably been made fun of. He was like the scourge of society. He had compassion. He cared. He looked over there and he said, there's a human being laying in the ditch and he needs help. He was concerned about it. He says, I need to help him. He showed kindness. He took action. He says, I'm going to have to do something. And when we see this, when we read this, don't beat yourself up. Don't leave here thinking, you know, because sometimes action could be calling 911. Somebody needs some help. I'm going to call 911. It could be just provide a meal. Yeah, I'll provide a meal. It could be a phone call. Hey, how's it going? Could be a text. Just thinking about you. Could be an encouraging word. Have a nice day. It might be just enough to show to lift somebody up. And that's the person that Jesus wants us to be. A kind and compassionate person. He wants us to be that way. That's the person that I want to be. That I strive to be. Don't always hit that mark. That's the world that I want to live in. I want that world. So how do we do that in our life? How do we do that? How do we cultivate this kindness in our life? You know, how do we learn how to respond like the Samaritan? We're going to go through this real quick and then we'll close. I'm going to give you four action steps that we can add. We can leave here today. We can, in fact, do it. It can happen before we do. We can leave here today and start on this already, cultivating a heart of compassion is kindness, I mean. But is one, keep your eyes open. See things. Keep your eyes open. That second guy, it said he saw. There was something going on over there. He looked, he was curious, he saw what was going on. Keep your eyes open. Consider the whole story. See what's happening. Consider that whole story. Maybe that homeless man. Think about that just a little bit more. Look at him. Oh, he's a homeless guy. Could be a drug addict. Probably been involved with drugs. May have some mental issues. But get past that. What else is going on there? See what's going on. That guy with the cardboard sign standing there. I'll never forget this. We were at a stop sign, Linda and I, and there was a guy with a cardboard sign over here, and he was looking for money. And I said, you know who that is? And of course she didn't. It was a guy we used to go to church with. It was a guy that some of the people in here know. He'd got involved with drugs, and he had, you know, he'd got a divorce, and he'd lost his children and everything. He was a friend of ours. Look at the whole thing. See. Look at it and see what's going on. Where did he or she come from, you know? Maybe somebody comes into the church, and it's like, they don't look. They don't dress like us, you know? They don't act like us. I can remember the first time we came into this church, we were the only people that didn't have a tie on. Everybody else had ties on. We were like rebels. All they had up here was an organ. We brought a guitar in here. We're like living on the edge. Look and see where they come from. See them. We often judge somebody. Whenever we see them, we often judge them from where they're at, not where they've been. We judge them from where they're at, not where they've been. I mean, we've got to see the bigger picture. You know, they may have come a long, long, long way. And it might have been a very, very difficult road. So look back and see where they've been. Also, number two, always be listening. Always be listening to what's going on. You know, God wants to speak to you. The Samaritan, what'd he do? He saw the man. He saw what was going on. And he had compassion. Because he was listening to his heart. He said, I need to help this guy. Somebody needs to help this guy. I need to help this guy. And when that happens in our life, a lot of times that's God speaking to us. That's God wanting to talk to us. You know, listen to your heart. Listen to what's going on. It's like, I know I should do this. I know I should pull over and help that person. Somebody else will. Listen to, you know, God's trying to, it might be God's small, quiet voice talking to you. Don't neglect the nudging of the Spirit. It'd be great if the Holy Spirit just shoved you out there, but all of a sudden, most of the time, he just nudges you. And so just don't be afraid to step out. Which brings us to the third action step is respond immediately. What this good Samaritan, he just jumped into action. Somebody needs help, I'm going to help. Respond immediately. He poured oil and wine on the guy. He wrapped his wounds. He bandaged him. He bounded him up and everything. And if you think about this story just a little bit, this Samaritan, he's going along. He's traveling down the road and everything. I really doubt that this Samaritan had a first aid kit with him. So where did he get all that stuff? Well, it probably was his food. He probably had some wine and oil and some bread and stuff like that. But the wine would have disinfected and everything. But it was probably his food that he was taking with. He probably didn't have a bag full of bandages or anything like that. But he probably had some clothes or some, you know, cloaks or something. It's probably his garments that he wrapped the guy up with, because we already read that the guy was naked. They took all his clothes and everything. And so he would have used his own clothing. He saw what was going on. He responded with a need. He responded with kindness. He reacted immediately. And action step number four, give from the heart. Go ahead and open up your heart. That's a dangerous area, but go ahead and open up your heart. You know, he wanted to live in a more kind and caring world, so he started changing his world around him. Be kind to other people. You don't have to wait for them to be kind. You be the first one. Give with all your heart. God will give back to you. Don't worry about if they don't, you know, if you open up the door and they don't say thank you or anything like that, or if you say have a good day and they kind of just grumble. Don't worry about that. God is the one that will pay you back, not them. So remember, you know, when we go out there today, when we do that, think about this just a little bit. Remember verse 31? I said, circle that. And it said, now by chance. It doesn't just happen by chance. That's not how this world works. Life doesn't happen by chance, by coincidence. And as we go out today, think about this, that it might actually be this divine planned encounter or intervention by God, that he's going to put somebody in and he's going to help you grow. I mean, this is for our benefit. It's not for that person. It's for our benefit. It's not an accident. I challenge you as you go out today, I challenge you for the next 7 days that you would go out there and just see, just look, just listen, just see what's going on and see if God doesn't put somebody in your position. And don't think it has to be major, because it could be something minor in your life, but it might be major in somebody else's life when you ask them, how can I help you? Let's pray. Lord, we come before you, and so often, Lord, we have plans and we have ideas, and we envision the way this world works. But we know, Lord, that you have a purpose for us. So I would pray, Lord, today as we go out, that it would be through your Holy Spirit that you would give us indication that we would look and we would not look past anybody, that we would look into them, that we would look into their eyes and maybe just ask them, Lord, what do you need? How can I help you? What can we do for you? And we pray that as a church, Lord, that you would help us as a church. As we reach out, as we move from one ministry to another, Lord, that you would just bring it to our heart, bring the need that is out there that we would be able to fulfill. And we pray all of this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.